Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Saturday night, Notre Dame once again falling to an elite college football program as Ohio State, in a big spot, comes back on the final possession to win in dramatic fashion in South Bend. Joining us this morning here on the show, college football insider and senior writer for CBS Sports, our friend Dennis Dodd. Dennis, good morning.
DA, how are you? What a weekend, huh?
It was a great weekend top to bottom from a college football standpoint, but Saturday night, how can Marcus Freeman rationalize 10 men on the field the final two plays?
Well, you can't, and especially when I saw the shots from above where Notre Dame had overloaded the right side of Ohio State's line. Well, it was probably overloaded because there was a guy missing, and they ran the running back for the winning touchdown right over the center's left shoulder. There was basically not enough people there. He barely made it in, but do you think another guy would have maybe made a difference? Absolutely. That being said, I don't know if we could take an absolute from this game. Look, Sam Hartman had gone legend leading that 96-yard drive. They score 8.5 minutes left, and it looked like they had Ohio State stopped. There was an intentional grounding on that last drive. I still need to see more from Kyle McCord, but when you're Notre Dame and you're the most recognized brand on the planet, this is going to stick for a while.
For Freeman, I think that the Notre Dame fan base was going to give him a bit of a pass on year number one. But that's a massive, massive blunder in year number two in a big spot. Is the honeymoon over for Freeman after that decision, or lack thereof?
It was, to me, it was, judging by the reaction over last year at 0-2. Now, they went 9-2 to finish 9-4, but if you remember the reaction from that rookie coach, does he know what he's doing? We lose, you know, by double digits at Ohio State. This is going to be more of the same. This is what you signed up for. Again, still young in the term. I think he's a bright young coach. I know he got a lot of run on NBC and elsewhere Saturday before the game, hyping the game, which was good. And I still think he's a good coach. I think they can recover from this, but Notre Dame being Notre Dame, they virtually have to win all their games to be in the playoff. I don't know if anybody thought they would this season, but it bears saying that they're probably out of it right now.
Dennis Dodd joins us from CBS Sports. On the flip side, I understand Ryan Day is going to use any motivation that he can. That's what every good coach does, and whatever works. But the interview after the game about how angry Lou Holtz's prediction or comments made him, I thought seemed a little foolish, and I wondered if it was an indicator that Ryan Day is really feeling a lot of pressure from a lot of different places, and that when he erupted after the game about Lou Holtz, it was a little window into that pressure cooker. What'd you think about his comments?
Yeah, I wrote about it in the moment. I guess my takeaway is what you just said, that it said more about what's going on in Brian Day's mind than Lou Holtz. You know, Lou Holtz is kind of this 86-year-old TV yapper who can't turn down a microphone.
He's a Notre Dame legend. Of course he's going to pick Notre Dame.
Right. And, you know, they're more physical. So, you know, leave it alone. Who cares? But obviously that had touched a nerve deep in Brian Day's psyche. where he went off not only on NBC in the radio flagship after the game, and then of course the reporters had heard it, the media in his post game, and went deep on it. So does the Michigan thing bother him? Absolutely. Does the Georgia thing bother him? Absolutely. He's the, by the way, D.A., the winningest coach in ball. 49-6, 891 winning percentage. But in his mind, I would think, how's he being defined right now at home? It's two boat race losses to Michigan, in which they got outscored 56-17 in the second half. He said on NBC, he said, well, it's been one bad half. Well, it's been two bad halves and two losses to Michigan, which are, you know, intolerable at Ohio State. Is it crazy? Yes, absolutely. But they have lost the games. Jim Harbaugh's got the upper hand and looks like he might have it for a third straight year. So that bothers him. I did a story in August in the preseason on that, and the players talked about how they're reminded of it every day. One of their defensive linemen said, those legends speak to us from the wall as we go down the hall in the facility every day about Michigan. So you better believe it.
It's a really good piece. Check it out at cbssports.com as Dennis Dodd kind of dissected the Lou Holtz, quote, disrespect and how Ryan Day really got emotional about it. Earlier in the day, Clemson and Florida State, and I think Dabo's got a lot of questions to answer. He was upset by the way his defensive coordinator was calling plays at the end of the first half. He talked about that at halftime. Play calling down the stretch certainly was questionable. Game management, where they set up for a field goal instead of going for it when they had a field goal kicker that was going out of football and had a job lined up already. How would you assess Dabo after the way Clemson lost?
Well, that's by 1,000 paper cuts, and not just Saturday, going back to Duke, going back to last year. I think we all agree there's been slippage there. And for me, it all came, at least symbolically, when Cade Klubnik got driven and fumbled the ball, and DeLoach from Florida State picked it up and ran for a touchdown, I think to tie the game at 24. That was 8 years of you no longer, you know, rule the ACC. This is us taking over. I mean, he didn't just hit him. He went through him. If you look at the film, it's an unbelievable hit. Legal.
Yep.
And that set the stage for Florida State. They hadn't led all day until Keon Coleman made that great catch in the end zone in overtime for the win. And even that was symbolic. Keon Coleman, there's no one on the roster at Clemson who approaches Keon Coleman, the transfer you mentioned from Michigan State. And so what's happened there? That was the difference, arguably, in the game in that moment. I don't know what they were doing. I think it was second and one, third and one. They're throwing a bubble screen that in overtime that Dabo said shouldn't have been called, but that's on you. Why was that even in the playbook at that? You're Clemson. You're at home. Run the ball. Get a first down. Move on. Then obviously they blitzed on fourth down, and Cade Klubnik overthrew the receiver. And I said before the game that, well, this might just be a preview of, you know, the ACC championship game. Well, Clemson at 0-2, it's going to be pretty tough now. And Florida State not only is back, but they're the number one seed until further notice in the ACC.
Sure are. And they showed a lot of guts and resiliency, because on that strip sack and fumble, it looked like Clemson was going in for a touchdown. They had a lot of momentum. That would have made it a 14-point game going into the fourth quarter. And I don't think Florida State would have come back from that. And instead, they flipped it and they won the game in OT. And that was pretty damn impressive. We also had the Colorado game against Oregon, and Dan Lanning before the game saying, they're playing for clicks, we're playing for wins. Clearly, he knew he could get a little zinger out there. He wanted the camera crew in the locker room. Was this smart by Lanning to say something like this, since clearly, you know, his team played that much better? Or is this the type of thing that can come back to haunt him?
Well, a couple things there. Clearly, Dan Lanning allowed ABC into the room to film that. He wanted that to be known. That wasn't like a camera on the wall or something. It was he was on stage, not Dion. And the comment about I thought it was cool the way he said it to get him fired up. A lot of things have been said worse than that behind closed doors before games. But, you know, good for him. The other is the irony of the Oregon coach saying that. And I'm not singling out
really.
You know, I'm not singling out Dan Lanning because he's just the latest coach. But we're talking about a school that at one time had 315 uniform combinations, has a mascot right out on a motorcycle. I don't know what the connection is between the two, but it's not, apparently there is one, and is supported by, you know, one of the largest athletic firms, you know, in Nike in the country, and all that is meant to them. Their facility is called the Death Star. So it's attention, it's just in a different way. And I don't know if Dan Lanning represents the majority of coaches. Clearly, that was a motivational tactic before that game. But look, Oregon was the better team going in. They're the better team going out. I don't know if it took away from the discussion, but the Pac-12, ironically, in its final season is damn good. Eight ranked teams, first to have four in the top 10. And I wish people would concentrate on that because that's really, really cool.
Yeah, it sure is. Dennis Dodd joins us from CBS Sports. As for next for Colorado, do you feel like the first 3 weeks were a little bit of a mirage and that this is what's going to happen now as they get into the thick of the Pac-12 race and play better teams like Oregon, like USC, et cetera? Or is this just an Oregon team that's that much better maybe than everybody else in the conference?
Yeah, no, I still think Oregon has to deal with Utah, Washington, and USC. We'll see how that shakes out. Oregon looks really, really good. But yes, on Colorado, the point being, I had them and many had them before the season. Well, maybe if they beat Colorado State, they'll be 1-5 in their first six. Now, I just saw a promo last night for Colorado-USC. The game of the year. Obviously, it's network hype. But who would have even thought that before the season? And being at home, I suspect they'll be competitive. I'm not sold on USC. I watched the Arizona State game last night. They still have defensive liabilities. Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, still has to get that better. But USC, DA, 535 yards, 42 points, 8 sacks, 14 tackles for losses, and I think halfway through the fourth quarter they were up by 7, clinging to the lead at Arizona State. So does Colorado have a chance? Absolutely. Game of the year? I don't know, but yes.
Big noon kickoff should just be stationed in Boulder, and
right.
Then it's either a home game for Colorado or just travel wherever the Buffs are traveling. They're back. They're going to follow the Buffs again this week. So it's like College Game Day is only going to be Buffs games from here on out. But they're good for business.
No, I think it's good. I didn't know at the base level. I didn't know if Deion could coach at this level. I did a story last year when his name was starting to bubble up, and I talked to the Arkansas AD who interviewed him before he hired, I think, Sam Pittman, and he raved about him so much that he went down there a second time, interviewed him again. Now we know it looks like that Jerry Jones was involved. He couldn't hire him. He couldn't hire, you know, at that point at Arkansas, and I'm not saying anything about Deion. Arkansas couldn't hire him at that time. But the tone of the story was he absolutely can coach, and now we're seeing it. So, you know, it's great for the sport. It's great for Colorado. I don't really care how he does it. It's something to write about. It's fun.
I'm going to be a little selfish here and ask you one more question.
Yep.
So I'm going to gobble up some more of your time. I've long wondered what was it about Colorado that Deion was attracted to, because I would imagine he had other Power 5 opportunities this past offseason. What was it that CU did or was that Deion said, I'll do it there?
I don't know if he had a lot of Power 5 opportunities. Again, Auburn wasn't going to hire him for whatever reason. Florida State job wasn't open. And I don't know at that point in Florida State history if they would have hired him. And Mike Norvell's well established there now. So it was a P5 job. It was a blank canvas. This is what I want to do. At the time, Colorado had these restrictions administratively on transfers, and that those very quietly got changed where they were able to bring in more transfers, and we know what he's done with that. And look, it had a history. Colorado, at that point, in my opinion, Colorado was the worst Power 5 program out there, and maybe it wasn't even close, but he saw an opportunity. And look, it's Deion. If the whole thing goes to, you know what, and it doesn't work out. Well, there's Aflac commercials. He can still coach at Jackson State. He can just go to another Power Five. Now, you know, in whenever, he can name his school. He's proved he can coach. That staff is amazing. Sean Lewis, Charles Kelly, the two coordinators are doing a fantastic job. So if that's a read, now there's another discussion on Rick George said at the time, we don't have the money to pay him, but we're gonna find it. That's another discussion. But I think there were some possibilities at CU.
That's interesting. Dennis Dodd joins us, college football insider for CBS Sports. Check out his latest piece on Ohio State upending Notre Dame on that final play at CBSSports.com and Ryan Day's internal frustration with the questions about his program. Really good stuff there, CBSSports.com. Dennis, thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, DA, thanks.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.